Greetings and welcome to our Saturday, March 6th edition of Living Word Global, a ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church of Reisterstown, Maryland. We are so glad that you joined us this morning for this broadcast, and we know that the message will be a great blessing to you. Hi, I'm Pastor Curtis. I wanted to take this moment to say thank you for your ongoing support of this ministry. This is a great undertaking for us, and as we believe that it is the will of God to make His Word available to all who long to receive more from Him. Having received many invitations to preach abroad and unable to travel at this time, God has put it on our hearts to use this medium to reach as far as it allows us to carry God's life-giving message. Many of you have sent letters and made contributions to this ministry, and it goes without saying how blessed and encouraged we have been because of you. Thank you. As we continue to grow as a ministry, we welcome your prayers and support as you pass this broadcast along to your friends and family. And we promise to never compromise the word or its power to change lives and set captives free. Thanks again for making our ministry a great success. Again, to be in the house of the Lord. I just don't know what's going on sometimes. I tell you, it's just so exciting. And God is, He's moving about in such a way that it's nothing like I've ever experienced before in my life. I've experienced some things with God. I can't deny that. But there's some things that I've never experienced before, and God is enlightening me in such a way these days. He's just coming in, and He's moving about, and He's causing us to see things that many times we just overlook. Many times we don't even have our eyes open wide enough to see it. I mean, He's been waking me up at night, 5 o'clock in the morning, and bringing me down here into the sanctuary. And I think that I'm just going to sit and pray, and He begins to speak a word to my spirit. I believe the word that we're about to hear is one such word where God just woke me up in the middle of the night, you know, and it's always something going on in my body. And I really don't worry much about those things because I'm so used to them. But I know what I need to do. So I get up and I make myself ready to do those things. And then God begins to speak. And He begins to say things that catch my attention. You know, when God speaks, He'll catch your attention. It's not like anything else. It's not like somebody sneaking up behind you and saying, hey. It's not like somebody, you know, just calling your name, a familiar voice that you're used to calling your name. It's like something different. It's like something that's so brand new. It's something that each and every time, it's like it has a different twist to it. But He'll come and He begins to speak to you about things that are just so uncommon to your senses. And all of a sudden, you find yourself digging through His Word and just enjoying the things that you're reading. And you don't even know what the hook is yet. But you know that there's something that God wants you to know. And I feel like God has been speaking that way lately. He's been speaking that way. I had planned, and He gave me a message this past week to finish the series on faith. And I was so ready to finish that series. I mean, I sat down on Thursday, and my heart was just all in it. And I mean, I finished the message within like probably 4 hours. I sat there and finished the message, maybe less than that. And I was so excited. And I was like, oh, God, this is good. This is exciting. And He wakes me up last night or this morning, at 5 o'clock. The 5 o'clock hour. And it was just me and God. And I was so desperately wanting for my wife to wake up, but she was sleeping so good. But I came down here and God began to speak, and he gave me another word, and he wanted for us to talk about being dry. Now, how many of you have ever felt like you're just dry? You know, you just don't feel like you have a connection. You don't feel like doing a whole lot. Just don't want to get connected. You know, you got a small group going on over there, and folk are saying, come on, come to my group. And you just don't feel like doing the extra work, you know? I mean, I got a job all week, and I've got stuff that I got to do, and, you know, I just really don't know that I can make it. It's kind of cold outside. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's just something inside of you that just doesn't seem to connect with the things of God. That you're just not there. You know you're a Christian. You know you're saved. You know, I mean, I remember when I confessed the Lord as my Savior and my Lord. But wait a minute. Right now, I just don't feel like it. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't want to tell nobody anything that hurts their feelings, but I just don't feel like coming right now. You know, and somebody may call on you to pray or something like that, and you're like, well, can't you just ask somebody else? You know, I like to pray, but I just, right now, there's just not a prayer in me. I'm kind of without hope right now. I don't mean to be without hope, but I just don't have a lot of hope right now. Can you just call on somebody else? You know, I mean, I know that the Lord uses me from time to time, but I feel like I just need a vacation from God. You know, can God just allow me to take a break right now where I can maybe go lay on a beach somewhere under an umbrella and just take in a little bit of sun and watch the waves, you know? I mean, that kind of thing, God. You know what I mean? God said that many of us get in a place of dryness. You know, laying on a beach don't sound too dry, does it? It sounds like a pretty good place to be. But the fact of the matter is that when that beach vacation is more important to you than the will of God, then there's a dryness that's taking place. There's something happening in your soul that's disconnecting from its source of power. And God's saying that we really need to deal with that. We need to look at that and look at it realistically. And I know the ministers that are sitting here right now, I know we don't have that issue, or at least we haven't lately. Am I right? We haven't lately, because God's been about some things, and we've been seeing some stuff happen in our lives, you know, and it's like even when we least expect it, he's speaking and he's doing and he's moving, and we're starting to flex some spiritual muscles that we didn't know we had, right? So I know it's not about the ministers that are sitting here, perhaps, but if you know of something that may have been going on that we haven't really talked about, then this might be for you too. But I know that it's for some of the others that are listening in. I know for some of you that are listening right now, I know that this is a word that's for you. Now listen, I don't like to get nobody's names, but I'm going to say this. We had a young lady tell us that she just doesn't know how to pray. Then that's a dry spot. There's a dry spot. It's maybe not even her fault. You know, maybe she just never sat with somebody who explained what prayer really was. You know, maybe she just doesn't understand, you know, that prayer is just as simple as talking to your very best friend. And God is your best friend. But there's a dry spot there. God said there's a dry spot. Now, I can tell you of others who have promised time and time again, oh, we'll be in service, we'll be there, and the door is wide open. You can feel the cool breeze all the way from back here, and yet they have yet to walk through the door. There's a dry spot there. God said there's a dry spot. Now, I know people don't like to hear that. Well, yeah, I got other things going on. You know, you don't know my schedule. Well, I bet you if I called you right now, you wouldn't be doing anything. Hey, what you doing? Oh, nothing. You got a dry spot. You got a dry spot. And God wants to talk to you tonight. So if you will, I want you to turn with me real quick to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to look at Ezekiel, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And we're going to start at the first verse. Ezekiel 37, starting at the first verse. And we're going to read through verse 11. Ezekiel, verse 1 through 37. The 37th chapter. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Verse 1 through 11 in chapter 37. Now I'm going to start reading, and if you're still looking, then you just take your time and find it. We'll be right along with you. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass around and about among them. And behold, there they were very many human bones in the open valley. And behold, they were very dry. I said, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I hope I'm speaking to somebody right now. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit, not just breath and not just spirit, but breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit, again, he says breath and spirit, in you, and you dry bones shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinew upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over. But there was no breath or spirit in them. Then said he to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Let me read that verse again. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great host. Verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Now listen what they're saying. This is what the bones are saying. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are completely cut off. The bones said, not God, but the bones said, behold, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. Now, there's a problem there. Because as we noticed, when they first approached the valley, the bones were laying there dried, withered, and broken. They had no bodies, they had no sinew to hold the body and the joints together. They had no flesh, and they had no skin. They were dead. They were dead. And God said, once he breathed on them and gave them all the things that they were to have, but let's stop right there for a second, because God did do the work. But did you notice what he did in the midst of the work? He called a man of God. He called you. He called me. He called those who are used as his mouthpiece, the preacher, to come and prophesy. He didn't just do it on his own. Now, he could have sent an angel to do it. You know, God can send an angel, and an angel will do exactly what God says and won't even ask questions. He just does it, right? Now, according to Scripture, I've never seen an angel question God. God says, go, and he's on his way. But God doesn't use angels to preach the gospel. Isn't that an amazing concept? God doesn't use angels to preach the gospel. And we know that the gospel gives life. You see, so while we're looking at Old Testament scripture, God's given us a New Testament principle. That those dry bones that we've been talking about, those ones that are so caught up in everything else, and they're just falling apart, they're dead, and they don't realize how dead they are. There's no reason for someone who confesses Christ to be dry. There's no reason. You know it. Just like you, and you get up in the morning and you have the excitement of the Lord in your mind and in your heart, and there's something inside of you, no matter what causes you to just break out in a praise, because you're not dry. Because there's that moisture of the Spirit running through your bones, keeping you nice and moist and limber and ready to go, to spring into action at any given moment. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, but there's something wrong here. These bones are dead. But God said that when they became alive again, when the bones came together, when the sinew became, you know, began to do its play its role, and when the flesh came to the body, and when the skin covered over it, and he began to breathe the breath of life from the four winds, they came alive. That's what happened. They came alive. And what did they do in the instant that they came alive? They said, our bones are dry. Now, wait a minute. We just got done fixing that. But they're saying, our bones are dry. We're without hope, and we're lost and cast away. How about that? We're lost and completely cut off. But wait a minute, the God of Israel just raised you up. The God of Israel just breathed life into you. The God of Israel just caused you to be what you weren't. And yet you wake up from the grave, you get up out of that hole that you just got done laying down in, and you claim to be exactly what you were before he breathed life into you. You know, isn't that the dilemma in the church these days? Think about it. How many Christian folk do you know that have no desire for anything that are down on themselves about everything and don't really care about nothing. They have no hope. They've been talking all their lives. They talked about how bad things were for them. You introduce them to Christ and they accept them as their Lord and their Savior. And right after they come to the point of receiving the life, the eternal life that he offers, they're still yet dead. Well, I just can't stop doing that thing. I just can't stop. Well, I'm kind of stuck. It's because I think that I really want to keep doing this right here, because it must be a good thing, because I'm really making enough money to take care of some of the stuff I want. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm alive, but I'm dead. These guys were dead. Now, we know if we look at the scripture, there's two different types of death. Now, all of us know what that is, right? There's two types of death. We have, first of all, we have spiritual death. Now, this illustration is talking about two types of death. The first type of death that it was referring to was physical death. These bones were dead. They were dead. They were dead because of having disobeyed God's statutes and his commandments. They were dead, literally. Now, the other part of that, when he brought them back to life and they stood there and said, our bones are dry and we're without hope. There was a disconnect between them and God, which means that they were spiritually dead. They understood something was wrong. You don't even know who we belong to. Now, see, that the spiritual deadness was because they had no importation from God. Now, an importation is simply an announcement or a revelation. They needed a word from God. Now, they had the prophet, they had the man of God standing there, right in front of them. And apparently the man of God is representative of God, and he had just prophesied that gave you life. I know you knew you were dead. There's no way in the world that they were laying there dried up and dead and not knowing that they were dead. And when God spoke the word through the man of God, which breathed life into them, that you'd think the first thing that they would say was, praise God, I'm alive. But no, they stand up, a vast number of them, and I imagine that they all agreed with one another. We wish we had a Joshua in the group that said, no, 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 rips his clothes and says, I'm alive. But we didn't have one. It was the whole vast number of them, and they all in unison said, we're dry. Our bones are dry. We're without hope. We're without hope and lost, cut off. If we could just get some folk in the church to admit to that. I mean, we could minister to them a lot better if they tell us the state that they're in, but they want to play church and they've got it down so well until, you know, they can walk around and walk like they know the walk and talk like they know the time. But in fact, something inside of them is dry and dead and lost without hope. So whoever I'm talking to, I'm hoping that you're hearing, because we really want to reach out to you now. Because I believe that once we realize that we're without hope, we realize that we don't have a reason to live, that we begin to seek a word from God. The man of God is right in front of you. The man of God is standing right there. He just prophesied to you and gave you life. Not because he did it, but because God told him to do it. He did what he was told to do. So he's standing there. And if you're sensing something in yourself and you're honest enough to say, hey, I just feel like I'm without hope. Let the man of God give you a word from God that might help you to overcome that. Now, if you'll look with me at Proverbs 17, I have a little bit of hope for you. I'm hoping that you're looking in your Bibles while you're listening, and you're not just tapping your fingers on the desk and saying, well, I can't wait till it's over. But listen, I have a word for you. The man of God has a word for you that comes from the mouth of God. In Proverbs 17, in the 22nd verse, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Wait a minute, a cheerful mind does what? A cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So wait a minute, what we're realizing is that these guys that were just raised up, that were laying there dead and dried up and all of these things, these guys, not only were they dead, but they were dead and they had a something wrong in their mind. They had something wrong in their mind. They had a broken spirit. Somehow their spirit was broken. You know what it's like to have a broken spirit when you just don't have any confidence in yourself or in anything and everything around you. When you stop looking at God and you start looking at your own circumstances and you start looking at everything and anybody around you, then you're doomed to a broken spirit, because everything will let you down. There's no real hope in the temporal things of this world. You'll find some fun in it for a while, but after a while, it loses its charm. It doesn't hold your attention anymore. It's no different than somebody who's wealthy and they just gotta have everything, because they get so tired of everything that they got, and so they gotta get something else. And they end up with a broken spirit because they find out that there's just not enough to keep them happy. There's not enough. Now, if you're a woman chaser, it's the same thing. You chase so many of them until you get so tired of going through the same thing over and over and over again until your spirit is broken. And now you don't feel like there's love out there anywhere for you, because you have a broken spirit. And therefore, your bones are drying up. As the scripture says, a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, the last thing they said is that we're lost and completely cut off. And this is the state of mind of those who have never believed in the Lord and his life-giving grace and power. Now, I know that there's not a Christian anywhere who knows the Lord who would make a confession like that. If I know the Lord, there's no way I'm going to say I'm lost and completely cut off. No way. But the fact of the matter is that they never experience the Lord. They've never met him. They don't really know who he is. They don't know what it means to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God. Now, if you will, turn with me to the book of John and the 8th chapter and the 24th verse. The 8th chapter and the 24th verse. And it says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now here's Jesus, and he's speaking to a crowd. Some say they believe in him, and others are just unwilling to believe. And he makes this proclamation that you're going to die in your sin. You're going to die in your sin if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, because I've come to give you life. You're going to die in your sin unless you believe that. And I mean, here he is. He's the Christ. He's making a proclamation that maybe you ought to have been paying attention to. It's no wonder they feel lost and cut off. And look with me at John 3 and the 18th verse. This kind of capsulizes the whole idea. John 3 and the 18th verse. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. John 3 and 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Jesus was really saying the same thing. We, in essence, judge ourselves based upon whether we choose to believe or not believe. We judge ourselves based upon choosing to believe or not believe. So if I'm saying to you I'm lost and completely cut off, it's due to a choice that I've made back here. And the end result is death and condemnation. The end result is death and condemnation. So we've talked about being dried up. We talked about the reasons for being dried up. We always want to leave folk with a solution, right? I mean, I don't want nobody to get the feeling, well, you know, Pastor Kurt, I listened to his podcast, and, you know, and he talks about all the problems, and he never gives a solution. I hope that's not the truth. But just in case, let's make sure that we tell what the solution is. What can we do? What can be done about spiritual dryness? What can be done? Well, we're going to look at some more scripture. How about that? Yeah, the Bible. It's the word of life. We're going to look at some more scripture. We don't have a problem with it, but I hope you folk that are dry will catch on and not have much trouble with it as well. Let's look at Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we'll look at the sixth and seventh verse. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, I like different translations, so bear with me. If you only have a King James, it says pretty much the same thing, but we have a little better description in the New American Standard Bible. And what it says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, you see, the problem with these guys when they were brought back to life is that they had a bad mindset. Their mindset was jacked up. Because, see, life was just breathed into them. They just had been born again, if you will. And yet they're still in the mindset that they're laying there in the gutter, broken up. That they're not worth anything anymore. That they're dead. They feel in their own minds that they're dead. So what is the scripture saying to us? First of all, don't be so anxious for anything. But in everything, now even in the situation you're in right now, wait a minute, the man of God is standing in front of you who just prophesied as God commanded him to and brought you back to life. So in everything, including this, don't be anxious. But in everything by prayer, wait a minute, wouldn't it have been really interesting if all those guys, when they came to life, the first thing they did is fell on their knees and began to pray to God? Wouldn't that have been interesting? I think that's what needs to happen in the church. When folk give their lives to the Lord, the first thing that needs to happen is we need to take them aside somewhere and let them pray and let them reach out to God for themselves for the first time. It's okay when we pray for them. That's just like prophesying over them. That's just like giving them the word of God and allowing the word of God to do its perfect work in them. But see, because they have this mindset that needs to be renewed, they're going to continue to see themselves the same way that they always been until they can connect with God themselves. You see, I see our church having a prayer room where when folk come and give their lives to the Lord, we usher them back to the prayer room after we pray for them, after we lead them in the Lord's prayer. I mean, the prayer of salvation and all of those things. Take them in the back and pray with them. You know, let them know that they can reach God by themselves, that they can touch the face of God, that God is right there wanting to meet them at the very place where they reside. You know, God knows what you feel like. He knows what you've been through. He understood it before you understood it. You only understand it now because he just breathed life into you. He just breathed life and spirit into you. And now you have a better understanding of all those things that you've been going through. So let's take them in the back, not in a dark room, but in a nice room. Take them back and sit them down and share with them what they just experienced and pray with them. You know, pray with them. Let them pray. You know, tell them, look, you know, you want to touch God. You want to reach God. So you need to pray right now. So why don't you just open up and reach out to God and let them know what you're feeling right now. You know what I'm saying? It makes more sense if they begin early in their walk to touch God. And then you never have somebody say, well, I don't know how to pray. And I'm not putting anyone down. That's not my purpose in that. My purpose in that is just using it as an example to bring home what the point is that we're trying to make here. We love you so much that we want you to know these things. We want you to understand who God is and what he's done for you and why he's done it and what your next step is going to be in order that you won't be dragged back down as a dry bone by the enemy of your soul that doesn't love you anyway, and all he's ever tried to do is kill you. I think you were in the hole because of following him. I'm quite sure that's true. Now, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I mean, my mind can't even wrap around that. Because it's all comprehension, and I think I'm kind of smart. But really, I'm going to be honest with you. Whatever level of comprehension I might have, it's beyond that. The peace of God is beyond that. It's when you just have so much peace in the middle of all the turmoil that you've ever experienced in your life all at one time. And you're at peace and you're just like, And you don't even understand why. Everything's falling apart around you. You don't know what to do with anything and really at this point don't care. You just have peace about it. You know where that peace comes from? It comes from the Lord guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You get so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in him until you just have peace. Then you have family members that look at you like you're totally out of your mind. Boy, you ought to be doing something about that. Don't you just sit there. You're saying, I got peace. It's going to be all right. Well, you know you ought to go and do something. Your daddy and I went through that and we had to go and we had to do this and we had to do that and we had to fight. And I'm telling you, that don't try to kill you. You ought to go, I've got peace. I don't understand all of it. It's beyond my comprehension, but I've got peace. It's like sitting beside a still river, you know, and you hear the little bit of water moving around every once in a while, and you're just relaxed, and you're just laid back. Close your eyes, and you can hear the birds tweeting in the distance. I know, Mom, I know, Dad, it sounds foolish, doesn't it? The peace of God in Christ Jesus. If you try it, I guarantee you, you'll like it. Now, like I said before, they have to change their thinking. Now, we could go to Romans 12 But I'm not going to tell you to go there. What I want you to do is I want you to look at the 8th verse in Philippians 4. But I'm going to quote that one verse for you because I like that verse. I think it's important. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's Romans 12, and I'm quoting verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies or present yourself, present your being to God, which is your what? You said reasonable service. Reasonable act of worship. Same thing. It's the same thing. Different translations say it different ways. It's your reasonable act of worship. How do I worship God? I don't know how to worship God. Well, this is the reasonable act that you can do. You can present yourself to Him each and every day. That's a reasonable act of worship. God, here I am. Here I am. You know, one of our ministers shared with us of a lady's testimony where she asked God to sit down and she had a conversation with Him. And I think that we ought to be the same way. We ought to just sit down and say, God, here I am. And know that He'll take you. Your reasonable act of worship. And it goes on to say, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed, be changed, be made over in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, check this out, what is that good, perfect will of God. It's the good and perfect will of God. Now, how did I figure out the good and perfect will of God? I presented myself. It was just that simple. Lord, here I am. Wow. Is that what you were talking about? That's cool. I can get with that. Now I understand that good, perfect will of God. And I continue to feed on those things. And what happens? What happens is the very same thing that happens in verse 8, where he says, in verse 8 of Philippians 4, where he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or report, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Wow. It's not really that deep, is it? You come out of the grave after being dead. The man of God is prophesied as commanded by God and breathed life from the four winds into your dead body and spirit into your dead body. And the first thing you do when you get out of the grave is fall on your face in prayer before God. That would be a good step. Fall on your face in prayer before God. Pray to the Father and say, thank you, Lord, and give Him a little bit of praise and a little bit of thanksgiving and recognize something is different about my life. Something happened. I was dead and now I live. You know, if you come out praising God and thinking about the fact that you were dead and now you're alive, you have something to talk about. So what did it say? If there be any, if whatsoever is right, well, it's right that God chose to raise me up. Whatsoever is pure, look at this. The Spirit of God is in me, and that's pure. If whatever is lovely, well, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I was before, and I'm even more now. Check it out. And whatever is of good report. Well, guess what? I can't wait to tell those ones, the one that stuck the knife in me, that I'm not dead, but I'm alive. That's a good report. I'm alive because God did something in my life. He decided that I wasn't going to lay there in the grave anymore, but he raised me up. Lazarus is the only one that knows about that. But now I could tell the testimony just like him. And here we go. There, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, hallelujah, Lord God. I don't know why you did it. I don't even know if I deserve it. But thank you, God, for raising me up. I could have laid there. I could have rotted away. I didn't even have any marrow in my bones. But you brought life back to me, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. There's some excellence in that. There's some excellence in that. Anything praiseworthy. Oh, God, everything that you've done is praiseworthy. I didn't understand it in my past life. I didn't know what the heck to make of it in my past life. But, God, right now in this moment, right now, right here, right in this second, right in this moment, God, when I realize that my bones are put together, God, that I have the strength to move, God, that I have flexibility in my muscles, God, oh, God, that I could move. That I could speak again, that I could see again. Oh God, I feel stronger than I did before. I got a praise down in me, God. Oh, there's something excellent about this, God. I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to think on these things. These are the things to think about. Because see, I don't want to go back to the dead man that I used to be. What would I want to be that for? You know, what would I want to go back to cigarette smoke for? Why would I want to smoke a joint? What would I want to drink for? Not to say that drinking is a sin, but what would I need it for? I spent my whole life getting drunk. I spent my whole life getting high. I spent my whole life hiding out. I spent my whole life in the fight. I spent my whole life on the street. I spent my whole life in the dark. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I was once dead and now I live. And guess what? There's a light. There's a light. And it's brighter than the light that I saw once before. I gotta tell you, I see something that I've never seen before. And all those guys that fell with me, wow. Brother, did you know you look good? Can you testify to the fact that you was dead too? There's some excellence in that. And I'm going to dwell on these things. That's how you overcome. That's how you change your mind so that you're not stuck on, I'm dead and my bones are dry. And I'm without hope and I'm lost and completely cut off. God came to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And when he came, he lived a perfect life. He didn't get caught up in the street stuff. He didn't get caught up in the drunkenness. He didn't get caught up in the lewdness. He didn't get caught up in the sexual revolution. He didn't get caught up in all the things that we found ourselves in. And therefore, when he sees us dead, laying in the street, and he comes and he touches you and he says, you get up, follow me. You have a choice. You have a choice. Either you can get up and follow, or you can lay there and die. Let me tell you what he said again. In John 8:24, he said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Now check this out. I want you to look at one other verse that deals with taking our thoughts captive. Because we got to change our minds. And we, you know, it ain't enough to just say, I'm not going to do it. 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 No. No. There's more to it than that. So would you look with me at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. At 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And I know this is a lot of scripture, so I'm going to ask you to just bear with me. But listen, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your future, when it comes to eternity, it doesn't matter how many scripture it takes to get you free. You're going to need to look at as much as you can. And I guarantee you, I have a whole list of other scriptures, but I chose not to put them on here. Because if I put them on here, we'd be here till tomorrow. I'm telling you, the word of God is so full, and it answers all the issues that we have in our lives. It has the reason, it has the understanding, and it has the cure. So if you want to be cured, bear with me and go with me to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And if you're there already, I'm going to start reading. And it says, we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Wait a minute. I'm going back. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Wait a minute. I'm not just saying to myself over and over again, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be a good boy. Remember when we were kids and mom said, you better be good. I'm going to be a good boy, mommy. I'll be okay. I'm going to do all right. And then as soon as mom turned her back, we kind of lost control. and found ourselves doing the exact thing we said we're going to be a good boy and not do. We're not saying that anymore. We're destroying speculations. I don't speculate anymore. Let's destroy that thing. Whack! Tear it down. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God has a place of superiority in my heart and in my mind. The knowledge of God is the thing that will clear my vision and cause me to see the things that I need to see. It's the thing that will cause me to walk in the straight line. It's the thing that will cause me to understand what is that good, perfect will of God. That's the thing I need, because I don't want to be dry anymore. I don't want to be dry. When worship's going on, I want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to just be sitting there holding the back of the chair. And something inside of me is saying, get up, get up, get up. Come on, do it. You can do it. And I just can't seem to move. I don't want to be dry anymore. I don't want to be without hope. I don't want to feel like I'm so distant from God that I'm cut off. I don't want that. I want something that's going to bring me in the presence of God and keep me in his presence and keep me where he is, keep me hearing his voice, keep me being built up and strengthened from the inside out, keep me from becoming what I used to be and become a new creation in him. That's what I want. So I'm going to hold my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, those of you who haven't done it yet, one more step. You need to confess Christ as your Lord. You do. You know, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than living in a shoe store makes you a shoe. It doesn't make you a Christian any more than living in a garage makes you a car. It doesn't make you a Christian simply because mom and dad were a Christian. There's something you need to do. And I don't mean to be hard on you, but you need to do it. If you want anything better than what you already have, if you want to know God and you want a future with him, you don't want to be dry anymore. You don't want to be distant anymore. You need to confess Christ as your Lord. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, in an instant, in a moment, in a blink of an eye, before you even have a chance to respond, you will be saved. So I speak to you right now. Now I know some of us are saved and we just have fallen off the boat or off the wagon, whatever way you want to say it. We've gotten caught up in a bunch of worldly stuff. We haven't been reading our scripture. We haven't been praying. We haven't been fasting. We haven't been fellowshipping. We've run away from everything. And God is telling you what you need to do to get back on track, to breathe life back into those dry bones of yours. But those of you who have never confessed Christ, you know you haven't done it. You've banked on your mama's salvation getting you in. And God's going to stand there when you come to him, and he's going to say, you realize, first of all, before I even say that, you realize that death is promised to all of us. And after death, the judgment. We're all going to be judged. And God's going to judge you, and he's going to say, well, why should I let you in this place? Why should I let you in heaven? Well, my mama was always in the church. And she brought us up in the church. I was always in the church. I made it to church every Sunday. Well, almost every Sunday. You know, those times when I went to the club, I was a little tired, but I was in church almost every Sunday. And I know at least part of the Lord's Prayer. And none of those things are going to get you in. The one thing that's going to get you in is that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. First John 5:17 says something to this effect, that I've taught you these things so that those who believe might know that they are the sons of God. That you might know that you are the sons of God. Now, if you believe these things and you've confessed these things openly, which means that you've agreed with God on what he said, that's what confession is, it's agreement. And you've agreed with God that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for your salvation. And you confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. And God's going to look at you and he's going to say, son, daughter, welcome home. So I have to ask you today, do you have dry bones? Are you all dried up and tired of being that way? If you are, God is ready to restore you. And I pray that you will take this lesson and apply the principles that have been listed within, and you find yourself in a place with God where you have a new life, you have a spring in your step, and you're able to live and become all that God has placed in you. The full potential that God has placed in you will come to be.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Living Word Global and Ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church of Reisterstown, Maryland. We are so very glad to share the Word of God with you in this format, and we hope that it has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. If you've been encouraged, Pastor Curtis would like to hear from you. Please leave us a note or email at info@lwcc2010.org. Please be sure to visit our website at www.lwcc2010.org for more information about this ministry and upcoming events. Please join us again for Living Word Global.